My name is Dr. Latasha Schrader. I am a student advocate, school administrator, editor, and owner of Tempo Editing. I am pleased to welcome our guest, Dr. Bridget Jancy, to the podcast. A native of Atlanta, Georgia, Bridget Jancy has been playing the violin for over 25 years. She was educated in the Atlantic Public School System and graduated from North Atlanta High School. Okay. During her high school year, she went on a European tour with the Atlanta Public Schools Youth Orchestra, played in the violin section with the Atlanta Symphony Youth Orchestra, and received a full scholarship for violin lessons from the Georgia Academy of Music. Dr. Jancy went on to Loyola University, New Orleans, and earned a Bachelor's of Music Education degree in 2002. During that time, she became a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority, Inc. in 2001. She was honored to play violin in a full orchestra along with Stevie Wonder in the 2003 Essence Music Festival in New Orleans. Dr. Jancy is featured as the solo violinist in award-winning rapper T-Pain's music video, Drowning Again. She earned her master's degree in music education from the Florida State University in 2005 and completed a Certificate of Advanced Graduate Studies in Music Education at Boston University in 2017. Dr. Jancy earned a Doctor of Worship Studies degree with an emphasis in Christian theology and sacred music from Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. As a music educator, Bridget has taught music lessons since her sophomore year in high school and in 2011 incorporated Jancy's Music Studio LLC for her music lessons, Camp A2 Summer Music Camp LLC, and the Bridge String Quartet LLC for performances. She is certified as a music teacher in Louisiana, Georgia, and Florida, grades pre-K through 12th, and as an English language arts teacher, grades 4th through 9th in Georgia and Florida. She has taught orchestra, general music, and chorus in New Orleans Public Schools, Fulton County Public Schools, and the Xanadu Camp in Atlanta Public Schools, orchestra and music in Atlanta Public Schools, Clayton County Public Schools, Leon County Schools of Tallahassee, Florida, the Florida State University, the Saqqara Youth Institute, and Stillwater Youth Sinfonia Orchestra and Dance Company. She taught orchestra and served as a fine arts department chair at Lovejoy High School in Hampton, Georgia for 5 years. There, she became endorsed as a teacher, coach, and teacher mentor. She also taught with the Music Matters After School Elementary Orchestra program at schools in North Fulton County, Georgia, and served as assistant band director at Godby High School in Tallahassee, Florida for 1 year. She currently teaches at Florida A&M University as the director of the FAMU Strings Ensemble and serves as the music director at Griffin Middle School in Tallahassee, Florida. She currently teaches at Florida A&M University as the director of the FAMU Strings Ensemble and serves as the music director at Griffin Middle School in Tallahassee, Florida. Dr. Bridget enjoys playing and singing gospel and inspirational Christian music at church with the gospel and chancel choirs and formerly directed the Instruments of Praise Orchestra at Cascade United Methodist Church in Atlanta. She is inspired by the faith of her mother, Mrs. Janice Jancy, who was a data analyst for Atlantic Public Schools, and her father, Mr. Ronald Jancy, who played jazz guitar with Herbie Hancock at Howard University and sang in the male chorus at Cascade United Methodist Church. Another inspiration comes from the great uncle, Parker Watkins. Another inspiration comes from her great uncle, Parker Watkins, who was one of the first Negro men to sing opera at the Metropolitan Opera Theater in New York City during the 1930s. In all things, she is thankful for the gifts that God has blessed her with, and it is a blessing to be able to share these gifts with others. Let's get started. Dr. Jancy, which methodology did you use?
Yes, thank you so much for that wonderful introduction.
You're welcome.
So I use a mixed methods approach for my research. I ended up doing qualitative and quantitative research. And at first, I just planned on doing qualitative. But when the IRB came back, you know, with their response to my application for research, they asked me what statistical test was I going to use for the answers to my questionnaires that I chose. So that led me into quantitative with the statistics. And I wasn't planning on doing that, but I was able to use my knowledge that I learned in those research classes to do so.
Yeah, I also did the mixed method. So I, at first, just planned on doing quantitative, a survey, but then I used, from the survey, I chose some of my participants and I did interviews with them as well for the qualitative piece. But I think it gave me a richer study.
Exactly. I agree.
So which writing resources do you recommend for those currently writing their dissertation?
Well, of the writing courses I would recommend, they will be unique to what university that you're at, but definitely like a creative writing class where you can really grow as a writer and expound upon your ideas. Also, whatever type of editing that's required by your university in terms of like the format, whether it's MPA, APA, or Turabian, a class on that. Because a lot of time was spent with my professors, you know, even, you know, prior to the thesis, getting ready, you know, with all those papers you turn in, all those final projects, you know, making sure it's in the right format.
Yeah.
And I was in an interesting situation because when I was an undergrad at Loyola University, New Orleans, we used the Turabian, Kate Turabian, for our format, writing format. When I was in my master's degree program at Florida State, we got to choose what we wanted
really?
To use,
that's
APA or Turabian. So I stuck with that Turabian. But when I was in a doctoral program at Boston University for music, for music education, they had me to use APA. So I had a real paradigm shift, you know, in terms of the format. And that was challenging. But then I actually transferred after 2 years of that program. I changed my major and transferred to Liberty University and got the Doctor of Worship Studies. And they used Turabian. So after having mastered APA, I had to go back to Turabian. And it's a really big change having to use the footnotes and just, you know, with the bibliography in terms of how you italicize things or don't, and when you put a period or comma, whether it's a journal or a book, it was a lot, you know.
I have never heard of Turabian. I'm not familiar with Turabian. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
So Turabian, Kate Turabian, she has several editions out. I think it goes up to about the 11th edition now of her writer's manual. And what I really like about it is she talks about the writing process. If you buy a Turabian manual, it's not just, okay, this is how you citate an article or a book or a website, you know, but it really, at the beginning of it, it goes into the research process and shows you how to start researching and creative writing into, you know, really get into your abstract and, you know, different, the introduction and, you know, different parts of your thesis or dissertation.
Oh, okay.
So, Kate Turabian method, it really, it's a more like a holistic look at writing.
Oh, okay.
Because it gets into like the meat, the nuts and bolts of, you know, how to put rhetorical questions in there, you know, pull the reader in and, you know, like, make an argument in your writing and, you know, provide evidence.
I'm going to check that out.
Paragraph. So I just feel like I learned so much more from that method than I did the APA.
Okay, I'm going to check that out.
You know, by itself.
All right, yeah, that sounds interesting. Do you have any time management strategies to share?
Yes. So when I was working on my doctorate, it took me 6 years, and I did my doctorate online. As I am a full-time educator. And I also have some other things to balance out because I teach music lessons and I perform on my violin. I'm active in my church.
Yeah, you are busy.
In my community. So, you know, I did have to cut back on some things personally in order to get the job done. So I would spend probably like an hour a day studying or, you know, working on an assignment, and then all my assignments were due Sunday by midnight. So I would make it my goal to turn in the assignment Saturday by midnight, so that I could just enjoy my fun day Sunday with my family, you know, go to church and just be at ease.
Yeah.
Instead of having to, you know, rush and not enjoy Sunday dinner.
Right.
And yeah, so that was my strategy before getting to the thesis stage. And then once when I was in the writing stage, you know, it's a little less structured than having those, you know, weekly assignments from your classes. So I set for myself weekly and monthly goals. And I would say, okay, so by the end of this month, I'm going to be done with chapter one.
Right.
You know, even if it's just a rough draft, it may not be perfect, but I'm gonna be done with it so I can upload something and submit it to my professor. Okay, next month, I'm going to be done with chapter two. So I was really strict with that. And when I was collecting my data, you know, I had a goal of getting certain X number of responses back every month.
Yeah.
Yeah, spreading the word and reaching out to people all over the country.
Right.
To get them to fill out that questionnaire. So I was very, like, strict with myself for working on everything. Just an hour a day, you know, because I'm a sleeper. Like, I need my 8 hours of rest, so I'm not going to really be able to function.
Yeah, how many responses did you need?
Yeah, so I was in bed probably no later than 1 a.m.
Yeah.
But mostly, like, by midnight, I would have to really cut things off if I was going to, you know, get some decent sleep. So that's how I met my deadline of being finished with the thesis in a year.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I had a rough draft, you know, and then I went into the editing phase.
Mm-hmm.
After that, then I was able to defend by April 16th.
Yeah.
2020.
Yeah, that's a great accomplishment. So how many respondents did you need for your questionnaire?
So for my questionnaire, I was only required to get 20 total respondents. Uh-huh. I did 10 senior pastors of Southern Baptist churches and 10 worship leaders or music ministers as well. And I think in the end, I got a little bit more than that. I had about 23 of each.
Okay.
So I ended up exceeding my goal. So that was felt like a, you know, a big accomplishment. And one thing that helped me with that, because that was probably one of the slowest things getting people to respond.
Right, it is.
Was I started offering them a $10 Starbucks or Amazon gift card.
Yeah.
You know, for filling out the survey.
Right.
The questionnaire. So then people started doing it for that.
Yeah, it is hard to get those respondents. It really is. I have the same issue. So I think that's common. So,
yeah, so I had to, you know, put a little money into it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Okay.
And some people filled it out for free.
Yeah, they will. Cool. Yep. So how did you overcome writer's block?
Okay, so one thing that helped me was going back to, like, some old assignments that I did in the pre-thesis class, the intro to thesis writing class I had.
Mm-hmm.
And in that class, you really outlined chapter one and chapter two of your thesis.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, like, in that class, it was one assignment took me a long time to do. And it was for, like, pulling together some references for that chapter two, where you give, you know, like, a lot of background information on the subject you're writing about. So when I went back to that assignment, it was just very detailed how I described the articles and the books, you know, I found that supported my research. And I had almost forgotten, oh, my God, it's like I've already done this work.
Yeah.
So that was like, you know, a light bulb moment. And I went back to that assignment. And I started pulling those articles again and reading those. And that got me over that hump with that writer's block, because I had definitely gotten, you know, to a point like, oh, my gosh, I'm you know, I'm going to fill this chapter up with. But that reminded me, you know, that like, okay, in a previous semester when I took this class, this is what I found.
Yeah. You bring up a good point. You really, every class you take, every assignment you do while you're preparing for your dissertation, make sure that it is somehow related to what you want your dissertation to be about, so you can use those as reference and resources, you know, toward the end of your journey. That's a good plan.
Exactly. Thank you.
You're welcome. So describe your dissertation journey in one word, and why did you choose that word?
Okay, so the one word that I believe describes my my dissertation journey is the word faith.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I chose that word is I was just so happy to get to this step in the process of my doctoral journey. I mentioned that I was at Boston University at first.
Yes.
In a doctor of musical arts degree program in music education. But after 2 years in that program, I was feeling like, oh, you know, I've been there and done that, because both my bachelor and master's degree are in music education. And I was starting to feel like, okay, you know, I'm a little burnt out on this subject matter. I wanted to spread my wings a little bit more and diversify for this doctorate. And that led me, you know, to kind of even like bumping heads with the professors. It's just like things just started to fall apart there at the university. And
was that online as well?
Getting a, like an F.
No, I said, was that, was that, was that,
you know, I got an F on an assignment for a discussion post. And the professor gave me such a low grade because she said, oh, you didn't post this by midnight on Thursday. But I had posted it, but somehow the words in the discussion box got deleted or something on my browser. So it was like a blank post. And these professors, they did not care about us. Like, she gave me a 16 on the whole assignment.
Wow.
Yeah, even though I did my reply, she wouldn't let me go back and get my original post, which I had in a Word document anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and I posted it on there anyway, but she wouldn't accept it. But it brought my grade down to like a C plus in the class.
Yeah.
And they say you can't get less than a B minus. And then there was my introduction to research class that I had also gotten a C plus in. I retook it. And they finally got, you know, earned a B minus.
Yeah.
But the professor, it's just like he did not like my writing.
Oh, wow. Was it the same professor?
I'm sorry?
Was it the same professor for both classes?
Yes. Like the time I had to retake that class, I had the same professor. And I found out he was the only one that teaches it. So it's like I couldn't get around like having somebody else.
Right.
But it was a different professor in another class on early elementary music, which I love teaching, you know, and like she just discredited like a lot of my work. And that professor, like he even, like when I did my final project, he had another professor grade my work. Yeah, because he felt like he was treating me unfairly. Because I had brought these things to the dean, and I was just like, you know, the comments he was leaving, it was just like he was just picking on me.
Wow.
You know, him being a white male and that sort of thing, and I'm the only Black student, you know, female or male in this cohort. You know, maybe I was being picked on and looked at, you know, differently. So, so yeah, those, all those things happened. And then they said after the end of second year that I couldn't continue with the doctorate.
Why?
Well, because they said I had gotten like the two B minuses. Well, like less than a B minus, like a C plus in two classes.
Wow.
So if you get two C pluses, you're out of there. And so with my credit hours, they gave me a certificate of advanced graduate studies.
Okay.
And but they said I could never be in the doctorate program there, like again.
Wow.
You know, for like, you know, music education.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I was just at a crossroads because I was like, okay, God, you know, I definitely want to get my doctorate.
Yes.
And, you know, so I just really prayed about it because I knew I was a little burnt out on the subject matter because I was already enjoying being a teacher with the bachelor and master's degree and the endorsement and everything and being department chair. So I remember God had placed in my heart a desire to go into music ministry. Because I'd always been involved with that since a childhood, you know, in church. So that's when I found this doctor of worship art, worship studies, and Christian music and theology degree at Liberty University. And they had it at Boston as well, except for it wasn't online at Boston. It was just in person.
Yeah.
So so that's when I applied to Liberty University, and they accepted me like really fast. And I took my last class in Boston in December of 2016. Mm-hmm. And then by March of 2017, I was starting at Liberty.
Well, it sounds like it worked out like it was supposed to.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. So,
good for you.
Definitely. Thank you.
So I love books. I have to ask, are you reading anything right now?
Yes, I am. So I'm reading two books I want to share with you. One is called Blackberry Memories.
Okay.
And this is by Dr. Margaret Bacchus Wilson. Mm-hmm. And she's an MD, OBGYN. And she's like a second mom to me, because my mom and my dad, they passed away when I was in elementary school.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And she's actually the mother of the R&B singer Bobby Valentino.
Oh, okay.
And he and I grew up together in church, elementary, middle, and high school. Mm-hmm. He's a very close friend of mine. But this is her autobiography. And the subtitle is The Unforgettable Story of a Little Girl's Foundation, Faith, and Favor That Led Her to a Life of Joy from a World of Poverty.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And, you know, seeing her now, you know, as a doctor and married to a pastor and the success of her son and her daughter, you would have never known she's like from the Mississippi Delta.
Yeah.
Grew up, you know, doing sharecropping and picking cotton. You know, to help support her family and everything as a child.
So I might enjoy that. What was the author's
memoir?
What was her name again?
Her name is Dr. Margaret Bacchus Wilson.
Okay, I'm gonna look that up. What was the second book you're reading?
So the second book I am reading is called What Every Christian Needs to Know About Passover.
Oh, okay.
By Rabbi Evan Moffic, M-O-F-F-I-C. And this is my Lenten study for my church as we're in this period of Lent.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's just about how, you know, Jesus was a Jew, of course, and how Passover translates, you know, into the Holy Communion that we, you know, take today as Christians.
Okay. That sounds interesting as well. So is there anything else you'd like to share about your experience with academic writing?
Okay, so one of the big things I learned about academic writing was not to be too wordy.
Okay.
Because I know I'm very like detail-oriented, and I had to think about, you know, just how I talk as well. Because, you know, a lot of times we write the way we talk.
Yes.
And it was like a real wake-up call, like, oh, my gosh, okay, maybe, you know, I do give a little bit too much details when I'm telling a story or describing something. So I had to kind of cut back on that a lot, because that's a lot of the comments I was getting from professors. Your writing is so wordy. Cut a lot of that out, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, that also, you know, translated over to my personal and professional life.
Like, right.
Okay. You know, even while I'm teaching, I can give my students the same directions with less words.
Yes.
And it'll get the point across quicker. Mm-hmm. You know, and those sorts of things.
That is so true. You write like you talk. It is so true. So that's a good advice. I actually had the opposite problem. They're like, you're being like, you need to give more detail or elaborate on that point. You know, so it's funny how different people have different there's a fine balance. Sometimes they say you're writing too much, then sometimes they say add something. So you never know what, you know, it depends on your really your committee.
Yeah, I ran into that problem when I got to chapter 5 my thesis, you know, the conclusion. They were like, you need to add more to this.
Yes, yes.
It's not long enough. And I was like, okay.
Yes,
sure.
Crazy. Yes. Well, Dr. Yancey, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me tonight and being so open to sharing your dissertation journey.
Oh, you're welcome. It was my pleasure. Thank you for thinking of me to be a part of this podcast. It's my first time being on any podcast. Well, so I'm really excited about it.
Listeners, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen. We all know time is priceless. Information about my editing services can be found at tempoediting.com. That's tempoediting.com. Last, if you've enjoyed this podcast, please follow and share it with a fellow scholar.